Hello, and welcome to yet another edition of Radio Free Nintendo, or is it Nintendo Pirate Radio?
I don't know today.
If I'm allowed on Nintendo Pirate Radio, but I'm pretty sure Carl is not allowed on Radio Free Nintendo, so we're really breaking all the rules right now.
This is not a sanctioned radio cast.
No, in no way. In no way. But, you know, after we're done, I think a good bout of wrestling, arm wrestling, or knee wrestling, or thumb wrestling.
Something to that effect.
Yes, then we can decide which podcast is actually better. Not as though it needs to be proved or anything.
Yes, it's not like we're insecure.
Well, speak for yourself. Anyways, so on this great Radio Pirate Free Nintendo, we're going to be talking about some of the big news that just happened today.
Ooh,
actually, and
breaking news.
Yeah, absolutely. Then the big thing is that Hyrule, Camp Hyrule, there was this chat with George Harrison, and he made two comments. Mm-hmm. One was that there was this absolutely soul-crushing comment that the GCN controller, the GameCube controller, is not going to work with the Wii version of Zelda.
I am a broken shell of a man.
And you haven't even played Zelda.
I haven't. That's how crushing it is.
But, you know, you might end up being one of the people that likes it. The staff is firmly divided down the half.
Could be.
And I'm, of course, against it. I was one of the most vocal. Me and Johnny and Aaron were very much against the control. I know that Mike Gammon and Steven Rodriguez were very pro Wii controls.
Yes.
So, I can't say much more other than what I've already said in my impressions. I know that I'm going to go ahead and give it another shot. Johnny's going to be reviewing the game, and if Johnny can go back on what he's already said about the whole thing, then, hey, I'm all for it. I'll buy the thing sight unseen if Johnny says that it's good. That's how much I trust him.
I think that I don't know how Nintendo... I don't think that they would ship a product if it was not up to speed. I don't know necessarily if it's going to be as good as the GameCube counterpart, because after all, the preliminary development stages were planned for the GameCube. Whereas the Wii controls, at least from what I've heard from you guys and what I read from other sites during E3, it seems a little shoehorned in, but I think since then they've definitely had time to refine it. So I definitely think it could be as good as the GameCube version, if not better, but it's one of those things where I'm going to have to reserve my judgment until I see the reviews.
Absolutely, absolutely. And let me go ahead and say this. It's not as though controlling it on the Wii is going to be a problem forever. It's not as though there's no possibility of it working out.
Right.
But at E3, they said, this is the best Zelda game we've ever made. And they said, you are going to... playing is believing.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
It just did not happen with Zelda. So if you had your chance to prove it to me, Nintendo, and I'm going to give you a second chance because you've been my friend for the past 20 years. So, yeah, I'm going to go and do that.
I just really wish they had included the GameCube controls, because at least then, no matter what, if you buy the Wii version, you know that no matter what happens, you're going to be happy. But with this, you're taking a gamble. So
yeah,
I'm not in favor of it.
No, and a lot of people are still saying, well, why don't just package the two discs together?
That's not going to happen.
We've commented on that many times. It's not going to happen that they would be giving away a free copy
of
the game.
That's ridiculous. No one's going to do that.
No, but the other thing that George Harrison mentioned at the Hyrule chat, place. You know, I signed up for Camp Hyrule at least once or twice. I never got in.
Yeah.
Did you ever get in?
I never even tried.
That's actually where Johnny and I first met, was
really?
On those Nintendo, those geeky Nintendo
little
message boards.
That's where sparks flew.
Shut up. No, he was the rumor squasher.
Right.
And he's actually talked about that in a previous podcast about how he was kind of the man there, and I was one of the three or four people that kind of ruled the Ocarina of Time message board as far as answering people's questions. And so when we both, I think, signed up for Camp Hyrule, and everybody wanted to be in it, and, you know, it was only like these 200 random people or something like that, however many they let in. But anyways, the second thing that George Harrison mentioned at that chat was that the Virtual Console has some secrets that he hasn't mentioned.
Uh-oh.
He also said that they're very open to having new games come out or making new games, and we're hoping that might mean indie games as well.
Well, now that you bring that up, I actually have a few contacts at a few different indie development studios, and I've talked to one guy who works for a game dev called Neurotox. His name's Will McAfee. Maybe some listeners who know of him will respond to this, but he's said that throughout his relationship, you know, however limited it is with Nintendo, it's always that the business side of it and the corporate side of it is very different than what you see on the public side, where they might be saying, oh yeah, we want all the indie guys with us, we want to foster more game development, where it's actually a very different story. Now, this is based on their experience with the GameCube, with the Wii, and I really hope it's different this time, and I'm sure he does too. We don't really know. But I would hope that it will be a lot better than their reputation with the GameCube.
Yeah. Well, video gaming right now is a very hard thing to break into. And we actually see all the developers, all the major game companies, the system makers, be pretty antagonistic to the smaller companies that want to help out and just give things a shot.
Yeah.
So this is a chance. And if Nintendo's open to it, they can really make a revolution. They can really completely change gaming. Or they can just, make games themselves and expect THQ and Ubisoft to make all the other Wii games, and
yeah,
that'll be it.
It's like Namco once said, though, and this is the reason why, you know, Nintendo has so much third-party trouble. Your biggest competitor with a Nintendo console is Nintendo Games.
Yeah.
And I was listening to the 1UP podcast last week, which is a favorite of mine, and they had on Cliff Bleszinski from Epic, and as well as Mark Rain, who I'm sure some of our listeners will remember as making those comments at GDC about Wii games being nothing more than gimmicks. He was basically saying, he's like, well, we'll make a Wii game if you can name one third-party Western blockbuster on the DS. And silence crept over the room. And it's true, but on the same note, I would say that Western developers haven't put in the effort, for the most part, on the DS.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think that I would hate to totally take I don't know what the right word is. I would hate to just bash on my own country as though everything in Japan is great.
Yes, that's not what we're saying. Japan does some messed up stuff, too.
At the same time, though, I think that there is a potential for us to really evaluate Japanese video game making versus American video game making and see that there is an emphasis, sometimes inappropriate in American video game making, on cinematics or on violence. We see things that are... We see some innovation sometimes, but it seems to always be directed towards a specific audience that isn't broad.
Right.
And they claim that it's broad, but it's not.
Well, I mean, most Western developers put their money on the PSP, and I think now that they've seen the DS's triumphant success, not end all be all success, but definitely it can hold its own. Like EA made that comment the other day about now that the PSP doesn't seem to be doing so hot anymore, because even though it's selling, you know, almost toe-to-toe with the DS, the games are not. And so they're going to put a lot more resources into the DS, which I think is great. We'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, EA is kind of hit and miss sometimes.
Yeah, well, and here, I want to make a comment about our culture for the past 150 years.
Go for it.
The
Go
great
for
painters
it.
Of the Impressionist era were never respected until they died. Van Gogh died a poor, starving man in a mental institution. He was not respected. The popular painters of his day were painting realism, and he was being an Impressionist. Now, Van Gogh is one of the top painters of the past 150 years.
Right.
People exalt him. That's the same way it goes for movie makers, and I think it's going to happen for video game makers as well, is that to a certain extent, their culture embraces something that isn't good. A movie like Mission Impossible 3 is going to be highly exalted over any sort of documentary or interesting independent film, because we want to give the attention to something that is surefire, that is going to attract every single person when doing absolutely nothing for them.
Right.
That's where I think that part of the distinction is, if I want to get really in-depth and off-topic.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, that it comes back to, you know, the glorification of quote-unquote old Sega. Now that it is no more, all of the old Sega fanboys are still like, oh, I pine for the days of the Mega Drive. But, again, we're getting off topic here, so.
I had a Sega Master System.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, because sometimes I have to reach back in my memory and actually think about having it, because to me, having a Nintendo and a Super Nintendo was so much bigger than having a Master System. But I did have one, and I've now got a Genesis.
This was a Genesis household, so I definitely know how that went.
This house in Miami. That's funny. We were Nintendo people. I got a Game Boy when I was like 8 for Christmas, and I played Tetris for the first time, and the lines were falling down. I didn't know what to do with them, and I accidentally made one of the lines at the bottom disappear, and I asked my dad, is that supposed to happen?
Nice.
That was my first experience with a video game. I didn't know what was going on.
Awesome.
I'm sure there's some sort of crazy adolescent there, but either way, that's when you get hooked as a kid, and you know, right. I know some people who Sega, and everybody wants the old days. Everybody wants Nintendo to be like they were in Super Nintendo days.
Right, I think that's why that's why some people, you know, want indie development to get bigger, because they make games with kind of like an old school style. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why what's the name of the developer? I think it's called the Behemoth with Alien Hominid.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't necessarily a blockbuster, but it got pretty big for a game which was for the most part Contra with aliens.
Yeah, and quirky too.
Yeah,
and
oh, yeah, definitely, absolutely.
So, personally, I'll tell you this: I don't think that the future of gaming is two dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Virtual Console and Xbox Live Arcade, these are great things. This is a completely valid 1/5 of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
But the other core content has to be pioneering, getting more advanced. I think that Nintendo should have been taking a bigger push with their specs for the Wii.
I would pay $50 more for the Wii if it had $50 more put in the hardware.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
But, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's too late for that now.
Yeah, sometimes we can't always have what we want.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, I played Wii. I thought that some games looked great. I thought that others, Cough Red Steel Cough,
right,
did not look good.
Well, in an upcoming podcast with our sports editor, Cyan Ferguson, we will be discussing this in much more detail. But we basically coming to the conclusion that that the art style of a game can make the game overcome so-called, you know, bad graphics. Maybe not so many polygons on screen, so much and so forth.
Sure.
But that's for a later episode. That's for, you know, my teaser for next week.
Yeah. All right, well, the next topic, since we're talking about this 2D, 3D, casual versus hardcore situation,
uh-huh.
There's a lot of people out there. There's the Wii 60 movement.
Yes, the Wii 60. There's actually a website called Wii 60, I think.
Absolutely. And they're going out propagandizing, claiming that for the price of a PS3, you can get a Wii and a 360, and you should.
But Wii60.com, from what I've seen, just seems to be a lot of PS3 bashing, which for the most part takes its form in, look out, it's a giant enemy crab, attack its weak point for massive damage, which will never get old, by the way. I'm going to be repeating that when I'm 60.
No, it will never get old, right there, right up there with all your base that belong to us.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's sarcasm.
Well, I believe it, damn it.
Well, the Sony really did make an idiot of themselves.
Yeah.
But that doesn't excuse the fact that the PlayStation 3 is insanely powerful.
Yeah.
And the games that I saw, I walked by at E3, looked amazing.
Right.
And that I wanted to play them. I didn't have time, but I did want to play them. And that the PlayStation 3 looks good to me. I would buy it if it were $400.
Well, I mean,
$450 maybe.
I think that with all they're pushing with technical specifications, people, I see a lot of PS3 games, and I say, well, this doesn't look much better than an Xbox 360 game. And then I get chastised for saying, oh, well, how can you be saying blah, 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 blah. And I say, well, listen to me. I'm paying $200 more than I am for an Xbox 360. For $200, it better be marginally better.
Yes, $200 worth.
And it isn't. And exactly, and it is not.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. But the 360 is a very capable system.
Yes.
It's right up there with the three cores, you know, la-di-da. It hasn't really proved itself to me with the games I've played on it, and I played a few.
Yeah.
But I think that there are certain things now since the last time I played it, and also things coming out this next Christmas season, particularly Gears of War, that are really attractive.
Yes, the Xbox 360 is looking increasingly more attractive every day. I mean, what's the name of that one... game for the Xbox 360 that I'm really looking forward to.
BioShock
looks great, actually. Yeah, that's one. But there's one that I think it was called. Well, whatever. I'm just gonna list some other ones that I'm looking forward to. Even though I got some bad press recently, Blue Dragon. I'm really gonna be into, and Lost Odyssey, because I have a soft spot for Akira Toriyama and Yoshitaka Amano, who are doing the character art. But we're delving into obscurity, and we don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, I just think that the 360, it's a capable system. I've seen with most of the systems that are competing with Nintendo is that there's tech problems here, or there's burnout, there's issues with the hardware. You know, it's these difficulties that other system makers just can't seem to get past.
Yeah.
Whereas Nintendo will deliver a solid product that won't break, and if it does, they'll replace it.
Yeah.
I can trust them on that, and I can't always trust. I know I haven't been able to trust Sony, and I cannot trust Microsoft either. When I first got my PlayStation for Christmas, I don't know how many years ago. It was a long time ago. It wouldn't play on my TV because my TV was Zenith, and the screen bounced up and down. I had to send it away Christmas Day for 2 weeks.
Oh.
That will never happen with Nintendo.
No, it will not. The only problem I ever had with any Nintendo system was with my DS. Because, the fact that it wouldn't recognize Nintendo Wi-Fi. But that only happened for, 2 days, and then after that it fixed itself, so.
Well, you might be giving it too much credit to say that it fixed itself.
Hey.
It's not thinking like a Dreamcast.
Oh, well. Or as Penny Arcade says, it's drinking.
That's funny. Speaking of Dreamcast, that's a system I love. Can we just resurrect the Dreamcast and forget this whole 360 thing?
The 360 is a Dreamcast, man. Come on.
You're actually right.
It is a Dreamcast. I mean, not in the sense that it's going to, you know, crash and burn, but in the sense that the same type of games are showing up on the 360.
Yeah, it is. And if someone makes a good Shenmue-style game or a Jet Grind Radio, then sign me up. I will be there.
Well, yeah, I mean, if Yakuza does really well on the PS2, they'll probably continue that franchise, and who knows, maybe it'll end up on the 360.
Let me say, I tried picking that game up at E3.
Really?
Unplayable.
Really? The import reviews were so positive.
Well, I'm not going to say that the game itself was unplayable, but that demo, at the moment that I picked it up, was absolutely unplayable. Because, for whatever reason, I was supposed to find something or someone, and I was running around trying to find them, and I couldn't talk to anybody, but there were tons of people in the streets. Huh. So I just wandered and wandered. I kept running into invisible barriers here and there.
Well,
I couldn't go very far until I finally walked
inside
of a bar.
I think that much like Zelda, that's a game that you need to play at home.
Absolutely. I agree. And it could be the greatest game ever, but when I spent 5 minutes with it, I just got frustrated.
We'll never know.
I didn't have to write a review for it, so I didn't bother. So anyways, that's enough jabbering. I think that the 360 is something that I'll end up investing in eventually.
Yep,
I don't think I'm going to get a PS3 until it's much cheaper. I think that's just the way a lot of people are feeling right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is the only way I'm ever going to be getting a PS3. I'll lay it out right now. Sony, if you're listening, my address is, and then I'll have to bleep this out later.
Email address is
carl@playinggamecube.com, and let me just say that if I get a free one, I will give you a ringing endorsement for every for every Nintendo Pirate Radio that I ever do.
Wow, Carl can be bought.
I am a total shill.
Well, Carl, way to go.
Yes.
Let me just go ahead and say, though, that this has been enough idiocy for 1 week, but
yes.
I want to close with yet another moment of idiocy.
Uh-oh.
We have viewer mail, but the viewer that, or I should say listener mail.
Yes.
This listener is not an idiot.
No, he's a
just
smart guy.
Pointing out why we're idiots.
Yes. Well, so wait a minute. Who's the one who made the mistake?
What are you talking about?
This is the one about the German game convention, right?
I might have been me.
You might have been? Let's go check the archive.
You're not gonna actually dredge it up, are you?
No. Are you kidding me? I'm in the Batcave or something? Like I can just pull it up? No.
Let me go ahead and read read the letter and tell you what was corrected. Last week, Lindemann and I were trying to discuss the Leipzig conference, game conference, and we got corrections from a European who told us that, first of all, the pronunciation of Leipzig is
Leipzig.
Like Heineken.
Yes.
Leipzig,
so whatever.
Then he went on to point out that someone, I don't know who it was, it could have been Lindy, it could have been Carl or something.
Oh, yeah. TYP, everybody.
It was totally TYP. Someone said, is that in Amsterdam?
Oh, no.
Well, Amsterdam is not a country.
It's in the Netherlands.
It's a city. And its inhabitants are Dutch, so I'm being told by this Dutchman, and there are 17 million of them there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes also called Holland, the area where Amsterdam is in, or the Netherlands. So my apologies to all four of you over in Europe that are listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything. I failed my geography classes, but I was too busy playing video games.
Yes.
So.
And if he hadn't, he might not be doing this now, mispronouncing your game conventions and mistaking your popular cities.
Yeah. I'm living the dream. That's all I can
say. Yeah.
I'm living the dream here on the internet, not getting paid to talk about things.
You don't get paid? Dude, my salary is off the charts.
What? Okay, how do you get paid?
Hey.
I went to E3.
I've got seniority, dude.
Seniority?
Oh, yeah.
I have no comment for that. Let me just say that I will be consulting my lawyer. Okay, by the way, Carl, did I hear you correctly last podcast? Is your last name actually pronounced Castaneda?
No, but I simplify it for the layman. It's actually pronounced Castaneda. But it's
you didn't just say any actually syllables just now. Those were not
Well, if you lived here in Miami, then you would pick it up in a heartbeat.
Castaneda.
Say it with me. Castaneda. Close enough.
That's what you're saying right now. You're just refusing to make any hard sounds.
But in addition to being of Hispanic origin, I am also of a Jewish origin, which is why you're going to hear those oy veys every once in a while. Evan, calm yourself.
I don't really want to make fun of that.
We don't need that kind of mail.
I can't wait to meet you at E3 because I have no idea what kind of person you might look like.
There are pictures of me online. I'm sure you can find one.
I would not be afraid of what
get
I
your
would
mind out of the gutter.
Those pictures. I'm afraid of how much money I would have to pay to find those pictures, Carl. So I'm not gonna do that.
What I did in my former years is none of your concern.
Your former.
It was
years.
A lonely Christmas. Is all I'm gonna say.
All right, that's it.
That's where we cut it off.
Pirate-free Nintendo for this week. We will see you later. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, criticisms, or carrots, please email us at podcast@planetgamecube.com. I have been Evan Birchfield, and my co-host this week has been Carl Nyazinyanya.
Oh, yes. Castaneda, come on.
Sorry. Catch you later, folks.
All right, bye.